Welcome to the Hockey Writers Blackhawks Banter, a weekly show with our top Chicago Blackhawks writing crew bringing you the latest news, rumors, trades, player grades, game results, and much more. From training camp to the playoffs, from Chelsea Dagger to the Madhouse on Madison, our team covers everything that happens with the Hawks. So get comfortable, grab a beverage. It's time for some Blackhawks Banter. Blackhawks Banter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Blackhawks Banter. I'm your host, Greg Boyson, and we have a full crew back together again. As always, I'm joined by my cohorts over at thehockeywriters.com, Gail Kalchuk, Brooke LaForno, and Sean Filippelli. How's everybody doing this week?
Doing well.
I appreciate you guys holding down the fort last week. It was a very good show. Unfortunately, the travel gods weren't in my favor, so I wasn't able to get back in time. Of course, I missed the episode where we get to eulogize Jeremy Colliton. So that's just the way it goes. But anyway, we're all back together and we've got plenty to talk about. In a weird twist, like, we're so used to getting on this season and talking about the Blackhawks not winning a game the previous week. And now we get to talk about a week where the Blackhawks didn't lose a game. This is bizarre world. It's kind of strange, but it's a refreshing change of pace. Of course, the Blackhawks have played twice since we recorded last. They beat the Penguins in a shootout, and then they beat the Arizona Coyotes before they head out on a road trip. Neither of those games are masterpieces by any means necessary, but at this point, you take the 2 points any way you can get them. And we'll start off. We had our preview post, our Blackhawks banner preview post. We all kind of mentioned a little topic we want to discuss today. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to start off with Gail, who wants to talk about Derek King, who is all of a sudden the rage in Chicago. 3-0 since he arrived are the Blackhawks. And you wrote about the tweaks that King has made since taking over behind the bench. Nothing major yet. But what are some of these things that you've seen, Gail, that's got you excited for the rest of the season?
Yeah, he's come in and he hasn't really done much in the way of systems. But there, again, there's just some small tweaks that that have helped the Blackhawks be successful. I just wrote an article about it that actually came out today, if you guys want to check it out. But there's basically four things that that I kind of noticed in my head. First off, and we've been talking about this at length already, just his mindset coming in. King came in and basically said, everybody just relax, play hockey, don't overthink it, let's simplify this. And they responded really well to that. A couple other kind of lineup things on defense. I really feel like he's kind of going for it with the stars, you know, and he's trying to win games here. So with defense, I think he's leaned more on Seth Jones and Connor Murphy. They played a lot more minutes. They're averaging like 27 minutes for Jones in the last three games. And he responded with two assists and his first goal of the season against the Penguins. Murphy, same thing, 26 minutes per game. That's both pretty high. Now, I know that they are the top defensemen, so that's what they're supposed to do, but they really have responded, I think, to that. They've stepped up even more. And then he's not afraid to, you know, instead of the balance, he's not afraid to kind of cut Eric Gustafson's time. It was only average of 928 minutes, and Stillman, even to a lesser extent, 15 minutes of ice time in the last three games. So that's not sustainable over the long term, but he went for it, you know, and I think he leaned on Jones and Murphy, and that could have been the edge, you know, to kind of help them win. Another thing I like with the lineup is he reunited DeBrincat and Patrick Kane. Great chemistry, and they both combined with assists and goals these last three games. And also Toews and Kubalik, he put them back together. Now you might say, okay, Toews hasn't scored yet this season at all. And DeBrincat, last nine games, he hasn't scored, but they're doing the right things. They both were on the ice and with assists for, I think it was Brandon Hagel's goal and then Jujhar Kaaru's goal. So on the ice, they're doing the right things together. And I just think it makes sense to have these guys with the chemistry. They started the season together. And then for some reason, in the name of balance, Colleton decided that wasn't what he split everybody up. Well, I just don't think that was the right thing. And I think it's smart of King to put them together again. And I think that's going to help them all in the long run. And then the final four thing that I brought up, and I think we'll probably get into this later in the show too, is putting, oh my gosh, how long have we talked about this, you guys? Putting Dylan Strome in a position to succeed instead of fourth line on the wing. He's got Derek King has Strome at the center position on the third line. And well, it was on the power play and it happened because Kirby Dach was out. He did score his first goal, but I really think that's smart. So those are some of the things that I'm excited about. And I think that he's just, headed in the right direction in a lot of respect with those four things.
Yeah, it seems that King has been watching our show all season and kind of was doing all the things, not just us, but a lot of Blackhawk fans were screaming about. Put your best players together, rely on your stars. Colleton kept wanting balance, 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 but let's face it, this team isn't deep enough to have balance. You got to put your best players together. Putting your players in a position to succeed. What a novel concept. It's so great to finally see it. Brooke, this week, last few days, a lot of the Blackhawks players have been outspoken in their support for Derek King and how great it's been to play for him. And a couple of guys have, some passively aggressive, some not so much, have thrown some shade at their former coach. What do you think about some of these comments we've been hearing out of the locker room?
The first thing that came to my mind seeing some of the comments were that Derek King seems very relatable, and not just on a coach's standpoint, but also just regular person-wise, like just to fans, he's relatable. And I think that's kind of how he's able to get the most out of these guys. I don't know. We obviously don't know what Jeremy Colleton was like behind closed doors or in the locker room. He seemed like a nice guy, but from watching him, he seemed always so stoic, just kind of no emotion, kind of just going through the motions. And Derek King seems like he's got some like jazz to him, like where he's just, like I said, he's relatable. He's funny. Like Riley Stillman said, he's honest. He's open, just kind of like the traits you want as a coach and also as a human being too. So I think honestly, that's the main thing here. When you're relatable, you're able to get the most out of the people around you. And I think that's kind of a nice change of pace. So I don't think the team has been used to that lately, but you saw Quenville was usually very animated. Someone like Rod Brindamore on the Hurricanes is very animated, open, gets the most out of players. So you know what? All you have to do really is just to be relatable. That's really it. You know, we're just regular human beings here. They're playing hockey, they're regular human beings, and I think it's working.
Yeah, he's definitely got a laid back approach. It's kind of just letting the guys go out and play, be hockey players, be instinctive, stop thinking. As they said in one of my favorite movies of Bull Durham, in Bull Durham, you can apply it here. Don't think, it will only hurt the ball club. And I think these guys were guilty of just thinking way too much. You know, where do I have to be? What do I have to do? Now it's like, just go out and react and have fun. And it's making a big difference. Sean, this last question on King, I'm going to throw it your way. He's got the interim tag, and yes, it's only been three games, but do you think he could be, not will be, but could be the long-term option for head coach if he continues to win, or do you think it's just still way too much of a small sample size?
I think both of those points are true. Obviously, it's a small sample size we're working with, but there's success through it, so let's rejoice and enjoy that along the way. But the reality is, you know, they want to label him interim, but if he's getting the job done and he's doing all the right things, like both Gail and Brooke have outlined, why wouldn't they look at keeping him as a more permanent solution? Certainly far too early in his tenure right now to sort of make that call, I would say. But the reality is, you know, foreseeing the fact that he becomes their permanent solution shouldn't be off the table. It might have seemed to be off the table at the forefront, but look what he's already doing. Look at the transition that this team has already seen, and look at the success that they've already been able to attain in that small sample size. So if he can maintain, any semblance of that pace or that pattern and continue to get the best of these players and see a better elevation of them on the ice and off the ice, then why not? It would be to the Hawks' advantage to take a look at him as a more permanent option for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Logically, I think, though, it makes sense for them to get their new GM, full-time GM first before they start worrying about, you know, you kind of, if you're going to bring in a new GM, you kind of want him to have his first pick as coach, especially right off the bat. But we'll see what happens. It's 3 games, but 3-0. I think Blackhawk fans are learning, you know, what I've known now for 3 seasons covering King down in Rockford, that he's not your typical coachy coach. And Gail, I think your Blackhawk Bites column is going to be very spicy going forward, because he's always got something. He's always got an off the cuff remark to kind of lighten up the room. I could tell you some of the jokes he's told when I haven't had my recorder on, but I don't want to get the hockey writers in trouble. He's very funny, very personable. And he knows how to read a room. He knows when it's time to be serious, and he knows when it's time to just say, ah, screw it. You know, let's laugh. And I think that goes a long way in a locker room, especially with veterans. You just can't take it serious 100% of the time. And I think that was part of Colleton's problem. He was in coach mode 100% of the time. Sometimes you just got to be a regular person and just laugh about it and say, yeah, that sucked, but so what? You know, who cares? We'll fix it tomorrow. Definitely off to a good start, and I'm happy for him. I don't know if he's a long-term solution. We'll find out, but I do know from my time with him in Rufford, he's a good person, and it's good to see nice things happen to good people. So I'm rooting for him just on that alone. I'm a big Derek King fan, as you know, Derek King, the person, and Derek King, the coach, is definitely starting to win a lot of people over. So we hope for continued success for him and the Blackhawks, because the tension in this room is so much better this week than it's been before. It's so much nicer to talk about a winning team.
But an effect on us too.
Yes, but all the a successful week has not cured this team of its problems or its struggles, that's for sure. And one of those guys that can't really seem to get things going and stay in the lineup is Adam Gaudette. That's a guy we've talked about a lot since the offseason. And Brooke, you wrote about him in our preview post that you want to see him play, get more playing time going forward. What is it particularly about his game that you think can help this team?
So I kind of want to point out that when I kind of talk about Gaudette, it's kind of like what we were talking about a few weeks ago when Strome was in and out of the lineup. Like, he's not a savior. He's not going to come in, and we're not expecting him to be this great, amazing Hall of Fame hockey player. That's not really the point. But I think the point is, even though the team has won, they were like barely escaped winning games where they just needed more. And thankfully, the opponents they had were not very good to overcome that. And I feel like going forward, that's not going to be sustainable. And that comes from the offense. And at this point, there's a lot of players in this lineup that have a hard time scoring besides Kane and DeBrincat. And I feel like Gaudette, you know, I think he's shown that he's able to create his own chances and score when needed. And I think if we see that more consistently, it will help the team. And I feel like Mike Hardman, Reese Johnson, I think they're fine. I don't mind them. But as of right now, they're not really producing that much. And at this point, you need production, especially if you want to get kind of back to a competitive state of the team. So I just think he's skilled. He's fast. He's young. He's got a lot to prove. He's on a prove it deal. I think you might be able to get a lot out of him if he played more consistently.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been in 8 games this year. He's got a goal and an assist. He's a -3. His Corsi percentage is under 40, which is not really what you want to see, but he's played a lot of limited minutes, not a lot of big, meaningful, impactful time on ice so far when he has been in the lineup. So he's just one of those guys that just needs to wait out his chance. And this is a hockey season. We know that guys are going to get hurt and guys are going to slump. So you just got to keep working at it. And eventually, hopefully, he'll get his opportunity to make the most of it. Sean, sticking with Adam Gaudette, we've got players like Tyler Johnson, Henrik Borgman. They've been out for a while. They're looking like they're going to be coming back soon, hopefully on this road trip. So if you were going to keep Gaudette in the lineup, who would be sitting, in your opinion?
Well, you mentioned Gaudette's 1 goal and 1 assist and a -3 through 8 games. And obviously not much, to impress just yet. But when you look comparatively, there's a name that's easy to highlight on this roster, and it's Reese Johnson. I mean, he's done next to nothing so far this year. So to me, he's a guy that's easily replaceable right now. Perhaps the same argument can be made that he needs a little more time to develop or to do a little more or more opportunity, et cetera, et cetera. But if we're going to call a spade, 0 points and a -5 through that same sample size is not going to cut it. So when it comes to who needs to come out in order to get Goddard in, he's the easily replaceable right winger, in my opinion, let alone that he's a bottom six. Both of them, you know, deserve being a bottom six role. So they can be a little more interchangeable in that respect. Play them in and out, see who's performing best, see how you can manipulate those bottom six roles and see which lines can create the best chemistry. But I'm going to say get Johnson out to get Goddard in.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with that. I don't think Rhys Johnson or Mike Hardman are quite NHL players at this point in their career. I understand why they've been up and why they've been playing. They bring an aspect to the team that they don't have a lot of. They don't have those guys that are hard to play against. But bottom line is you've dug yourself in such a hole. You gotta start winning games, and you don't win games by leading the hit department every night. You win by scoring goals, and Gaudette gives you a better chance at scoring some goals than those guys do. Gail, if we were going to give Gaudette an extended look here in the Blackhawks roster, what line, who are you pairing him with to put him in that position to succeed?
I would like to see a third line that can really be a scoring threat, and I think that Gaudette could be part of that. I would probably put him with Strome at center, and then he would have Gaudette, and then, is he on the left or the right? They're interchangeable. But probably I would go with either Borgstrom or maybe somebody like Philip Kurashev. I'm not real sure why he's on the fourth line, and I think one of those or all of those four, you know, again, it depends upon the chemistry. But I think that if you could kind of put those guys together and create a threat to score on that third line, then that would be really, really ideal.
Yeah, there's definitely some options, and King's going to have a lot of options coming up. Tyler Johnson, Borgstrom, hopefully coming back. And then you got to remember, hopefully another week or two, Brendan Hagel is back. You know, they originally said he was only going to be a couple weeks out, so we'll see how long that takes. So there's going to be plenty of options for King to build a successful lineup, and, you know, Gaudette could be one of those guys that just loses to the numbers game, but, you know, hopefully he gets a shot and he makes the most of it. Speaking of guys who have finally seems to get their shot and is starting to at least take advantage of it, it's not a Blackhawks banter episode until we talk about Dylan Strome at length. He's been one of our hot topics for quite a while now. And Sean, you pointed out in our preview post this week that he's still struggling, even getting, you know, back in the lineup and getting an elevated role. We've talked about this all season long. Do you think scoring that big game-winning goal against the Coyotes is exactly what he needs to kind of get him going, or you think it's just going to be mostly the same?
I hate to start this answer wishy-washy, and maybe I'll convince myself to decide one way or the other by the end of this response, but we've touched on it earlier in this show that, you know, obviously King seems to be putting Strome in better positions to succeed, but the reality is when you look at his stat line on the past three games under which King, he's averaging less time than he had under Colton. So it's not like King's giving him more of an opportunity. He's just placing him in better positions. So I guess, you know, that comes with its advantages, but Strome's not doing enough with his opportunities. So to me, I think we have to look at it and realize that he's still not doing enough for his coach to warrant giving him more minutes. And we have to look past whatever Colton had against him, because obviously King is seeing the same thing where he doesn't want him out there. He doesn't trust him out there. He doesn't think he can do the job he's out there to do. All of that said, as Gail alluded to, and as Gail mentioned, he was put in a position to succeed when he was thrown onto a power play in the spot that Doc would have been in. So call it fluke that he happened to be there. He got the goal. He earned the goal. Good on him. It was the game winner. I'm just not yet convinced that it's going to be enough to turn his whole season around, because not a lot of the factors are lining up to convince me that he's shown momentum in that direction just yet. It was circumstance that got him into the game. Frankly, that could be a reason why he got the goal. He got it nonetheless, but it doesn't look like he's really earning his chances yet. It doesn't look like he's playing any better yet. So while I want it to be positive momentum for Strome, I'm not yet convinced that it will be.
Yeah, he's still got a ways to go. Just like Gaudette, he's played 8 games and has 1 goal, 2 points. He's a -1. His Corsi is a little better at 47.4. Three stats that jump out the page from him that are good, considering if he's going to continue to play center, his natural position. He's got a 56.4 faceoff percentage. Anything over 50 is excellent. He's got 7 takeaways and only 2 giveaways on the season. So again, at that position, those are things that, you know, you don't really necessarily look for or see in a game because they're not the highlight reel plays, but those are the things that if he can continue in those trends, that will make a difference going forward. And maybe those are the type of things he needs to do more in addition to scoring to stay in the lineup. Gail, we've seen in the past, Strome has had his best runs here at the Blackhawks when he's played with his old junior buddy, Alex DeBrincat, and of course, Patrick Kane. Would you give that line another run here? I know we're all fans of having Kirby Dach in between those two, but I think, you know, any one of 4 of us can skate between those two guys and put up at least a half a point per game. So would you put Strome back in that line here for a game or two, just to see if that gives him the jump start he needs?
No, I don't think I would. he's played in that line in the past. That line has notoriously, the three of them have notoriously just been horrendous defensively. And that's something that you want to avoid. You know, they're trying to get rid of all those breakaway chances and from the opponent. So I think that maybe depending upon the opponent and the situation, strategically put him together like they did with the power play kind of thing, to give him some confidence. I think, to allude back to what Sean was saying, I think that I think he's on the cusp. I really do. I think he's on the cusp of maybe earning his way and starting to do better and starting to be more consistent. But yeah, I think that maybe I would piecemeal put them together to give them a bit of a, you know, some offensive flair here and there. But no, not as a long term solution for a line.
Yeah, confidence goes a long way when it comes to these guys on the ice, and hopefully that big goal Sunday will get him that confidence that he's been lacking for a while now. And speaking of that big power play goal, Brooke, you know, you saw him, he found the soft spot in the ice. He took advantage of it. Kane made a great play to set him up. Would you keep him there on that top line power play unit, or is that Kirby's Dach's spot until otherwise?
So I feel like because we're talking about Strome, I have to add in my national PSA to trade Dylan Strome, because I feel like it wouldn't be a show if I didn't say that. But I feel like at this point, we're all struggling to find out where he fits still, even that he's in it. We're all like, does he belong on the power play? Does he belong with Kane? I don't know. And to be honest, if you look at Strome and Kirby, I understand what they're doing with them on the power play. They're both big bodies that can screen the goalie. My issue is Kirby has struggled a lot to get going on the power play. And I guess the power play itself has been kind of stale for the past few games. And I feel like at this point you have to score on the power play if you're the Blackhawks, because you're just having a tough time scoring. So I don't think I'd put Dylan Strome out there permanently, but I wouldn't mind him getting more looks to see if that's something that could work going forward. But I do think he'll probably be interchanged with Kirby, because I get what they're doing with both of them in that sense. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing more of it, to be honest, to see if it works. Cause if it works, it works.
Yeah. Maybe that's our chance to get Strome out there with DeBrincat and Kane on the power play and see what happens. You know, there's no law saying you can't have 2 power play units that produce. So maybe this is a way to kind of get, you know, more than one unit clicking. We're kind of at the halfway point of our episode here. This is actually our 52nd episode of Blackhawks Banter, a whole year's worth of Blackhawks Banter. That's pretty impressive. This is the Alexander Karpatsov episode of Blackhawks Banter. Rest in peace. If you have never heard the Pat Foley Alexander Karpatsov rant, go look that up when the show is over. It's you feel bad because Karpatsov was part of that locomotive plane crash a few years ago. But Foley's rant, it's mwah, chef kiss. Amazing. So look that up when you get a chance.
I love how all of us were like,
yeah, well, you know, I gotta give me my 10 seconds to be a history geek.
Yeah.
And while you're done looking up that Karpatsov rant, please make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel and you like us on Twitter. You can follow us all individually. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see our handles there on the screen. You can follow the show's account, THW Blackhawks. All kinds of great stuff on our YouTube channel. We've got tons of different teams have their own shows, Oilers, Maple Leafs, Red Wings. We have a prospects show, NHL rumors show, all kinds of great stuff going on to keep you informed. Speaking of staying informed, make sure you sign up for the Morning Skate newsletter. You get all the hockey news sent right to your inbox every day. You can go to morningskate.io and put your little email address in there and we'll take care of it from there. Plus, if you're a Discord user, the Hockey Writers has, we have our own little group there, the Hockey Lounge. Head on over there and join us there in the Blackhawks channel and join the conversation. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's comments on YouTube or replies to tweets or our articles. Obviously, if there's anything you'd like to hear us discuss, just let us know in any one of those forums and we'll do our best to get that taken care of. Getting back to what's going on with the Hawks, I took a little opportunity to write about another guy we've talked quite a bit about this season, and it's somebody who hasn't even made his NHL debut yet, and that's young Mr. Lucas Reichel, who is off to a pretty darn good start with the Ice Hogs. He scored his first professional hat trick this past week. And of course, as soon as everybody sees that, they want him up in Chicago. And yes, the Blackhawks do need all the help they can get at 5-on-5. But I think the patience is the key here with Reichel. He's doing really well in Rockford. As I mentioned, he is he leads the team with 6 goals right now, and he is 2nd in points behind Brent Conley. Yes, that Brent Conley. He's leading the Rockford Ice Hogs in scoring. He's looked really good on some nights, as I mentioned, the hat trick, and he's had a couple other games where he's kind of just taken it over. And then he's had other nights where you don't really notice he's out there, which is going to happen a lot with these young players. So, you know, while the Hawks need as many dynamic players as they can get, I think taking your time with Lucas Reichel, getting that AHL experience is so key. He's got a really good line. As I say, he's on the same line with Conley, and they have Josiah Slavin on that line as well. And they've been their top line by far. And just let him get his growing pains in at that level and learn. And I don't think we need to be rushing up. One of the biggest criticisms of the Stan Bowman era was the fact that we couldn't develop young talent, that we either got them to the NHL too soon and then gave up on them too quickly and traded them. So let's take our time with this one, because I think Reichel is going to be a really good player. So there's no rush. Let's face facts. This season, it's not about this season. Now, I know these players in the locker rooms are going to want to do everything they can, try and make the playoffs. That was the goal at the beginning of the year. But you have a general manager who's got an interim tag. You've got a head coach that's got an interim tag. I don't think this is – let's keep our eyes to the future. And with that in mind, let's be patient with Lucas Reichel. We'll see how the season goes with injuries. But if you can leave him down in Rockford for the full year, I'm all for it. Gail, what do you think? Do you think – would you be okay with Lucas Reichel spending the entire season in the AHL?
Yeah, absolutely. I would, based upon everything that you're saying. I'm also going to pull a fun, funny quote from Derek King. He said, let him score another hat trick and another hat trick, and then maybe we'll talk about it. But yeah, I think that's based upon that, that's definitely the plan, is to let him build and grow there and build his confidence. I guess if things are like really kind of kaput at the end of the season, give him a game or two at the end of the season, perhaps. But, that would just kind of be to get a look and to get used to things. So for the most part, I think AHL bound is Rockford Ice Hawks is probably where he should be right now.
Yeah, King's a big fan of Reichel. One of the first things he said after the opening weekend was that, he wished that he could have him the whole season, but didn't think he would. So, now, he may want to rethink that. Sean, outside of Reichel, is there anybody on that Ice Hogs roster right now that you think deserves to be the next player called up?
If you don't say who I think that you're going to say, I'm going to be real upset.
I'm probably going to be who you think I'm going to say. It should be who everybody watching thinks I'm going to say at this point. The Hawks goaltending has turned itself around, obviously. If they find that they slip again or aren't getting the job done, whether it's Fleury or Lankinen, I don't know why you wouldn't look at Arvid Soderblom. Give him a chance to come up. Give him a chance to get some minutes. His numbers aren't sparkling yet in Rockford, but I mean, really nobody's are. The team's not doing that great as it stands, so he's not getting much offensive support. Yet, when you consider the fact that of the goaltending trio down there, he's the only one of the three who doesn't have any NHL experience just yet, and his numbers are the best of the three, that says something. So to me, he seems like the natural fit to give him a chance to come up again, only if and when the Hawks need him to. Worked out well last season when they got Lankinen over on the taxi squad. I'm not suggesting he's there yet, but at the same time, crazier things have happened. So if they need to look to somebody, why not give Soderblom a chance?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nylander.
No, that's what you were going to say.
Okay, yeah, it's obvious the Hawks are high on Soderblom, the way they're handling their goalie situation. Basically, in the weekends when they have two games, Soderblom gets a start, and then they rotate that second game with either Subban or Delia. So he's gotten the majority of the starts, you know, and he's just been bombarded. I think he's had to face over 40 shots three times already this season. So at least they're preparing him for when he gets to play behind the Blackhawks defense. So he'll be used to that if and when he comes up. But they're definitely high on him. Derek King kind of alluded to that he was told by the Blackhawks that this is the guy we need to develop. Subban and Delia, they're just kind of there, so make the most of it. So he's been pretty good so far in his first handful of games here in North America. He'll be interesting to watch as the season progresses. Brooke, back to Lucas Reichel real quick. With this crowded roster, we mentioned guys coming back. Does that actually help Lucas Reichel's development this season? Because maybe there isn't going to be that rush to get him in the NHL.
This is kind of like a twofold question in my mind, because just because something's crowded doesn't necessarily mean it's a good crowded. We could have a plethora of players, doesn't make it good. So in a way, I feel like obviously if the offense doesn't pick up, especially with the players that are in there, then they might be rushing them probably to get in there. But at the same time, I feel like someone might actually have to be traded for him to get into the lineup because of the crowded center room with Doc. And then when Johnson comes back and Strom, I don't know. And so I don't know. I do think it would rush him on offense for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly am not worried about his development at this point. I think, like you guys said, if they were trying to rush him up, I think they probably would have called him up already, especially when they were in that 9-game losing streak or whatever. So, but it will be interesting to see. I hope they don't rush him, especially with kind of the lack of production. He should stay where he is. They need to figure it out themselves with the team they have.
Yeah, I think, if you've got your full lineup, your full roster available, and they do start producing, then it makes keeping Reichel down in the AHL and learning all that easier, and it kind of quiets the noise from the fan base to get him up here. All right, so we're going to move on to our final segment of the show. It's our shootout round. This is where we're going to get some fast-paced, quick-fire questions. We're all just going to give a quick answer, little predictions going for here. So we'll kick it off round number one. We briefly talked about Jonathan Toews earlier, and he has yet to score this season. It's the longest goal drought of his career. He's doing a lot of everything else right. He's winning faceoffs. He's getting assists. He's playing well. Just hasn't scored. So is he going to score this week? Do you think Jonathan Toews is going to get his first goal? Sean, what do you think?
I do.
All right. Brooke, first goal this week for the captain.
I'm going to say no.
Gail, Ms. Optimistic, is Taser scoring this week?
You bet. He's not only going to score once. He's going to score a couple times.
Oh, look out. Well, that's been known to happen. The floodgates open. I'll say yes, just for the fact that it would be nice for him to finally get that monkey off his head. It's going to happen sometime. So this week could be a good week. Speaking of this week, the Hawks are out on the road heading out west, as they usually do right around Thanksgiving here in America. They're going to have three road games before our next show. Our first ever game in Seattle. at the very good Edmonton Oilers and at the not so very good Vancouver Canucks. Out of the 6 possible points available before next week's episode, how many points are the Blackhawks getting? Brooke?
I'm going to say 4. I see a win against Vancouver and Seattle.
Gail?
I agree with that, 4, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say maybe even 5.
Ooh, look out. And Sean?
They're going to get 3. They're going to lose to Seattle in overtime, lose to Edmonton outright, and beat Vancouver.
All right. I'm going to also say 4 points. I think they'll beat Vancouver, and I think they'll beat Seattle. Those are winnable games. You're at the point where you got to win those games. Edmonton's going to be tough, especially if the Hawks take some penalties. You might as well just pack it in at that point. First ever game for the Blackhawks at the Seattle Kraken coming up Wednesday night. Who is the first Blackhawk to ever score an NHL goal in the city of Seattle? Gail.
Okay, I just have a feeling it's going to be somebody really obscure because, you know, you always expect it to be like the big guy. So I'm going to go with Jake McCabe. First goal of the season.
That's pretty obscure.
We'll see.
That's good. Hey, you'll get good odds on that bet. Sean, who's your prediction for first goal in Seattle?
Well, I said Taves is going to get one this week, and he'll get it late in the game to tie it up, which is what is going to bring that one to overtime.
All righty. Brooke, who scores that first goal in the Emerald City?
So to start the season, I forgot who I said was going to score the first goal, but I remember I did not say Kubalik, and that kind of bit me in the butt. So I'm going to say Kubalik.
All right. That's actually my prediction too. He's been struggling. 9 goals without a game. That's too long for a guy like him. I think he's going to break. I predict Kubalik to lead the team in goals at the end of the season. So he's going to need to get his butt in gear if he's going to make me look smart. So I predict Kubalik scores that first goal in Seattle and then scores 2 more for the hat trick and the Blackhawks win. That's where we're going with that one. Yeah.
Okay.
About the same odds as a Jake McCabe goal is a Kubalik hat trick. It's about 50-50. Yeah. Speaking of the Blackhawks getting healthy, it certainly looks like Wyatt Kalnuk and Caleb Jones are very close to making their season debuts. So when both of these guys are available to play, what would you do with one said Eric Gustafson? Sean?
Give him directions to the press box.
Nice. It's very easy. Elevator to third floor. Brooke?
Yeah, I would let him go, but something tells me the team's going to keep him as a 7th because they acquired him for a reason. They seem to like him.
One guy seemed to like him. Gail, who's what are you doing with your guy, Gus?
I'm not opposed to putting him on waivers because nobody's going to pick him up, and he'd be really helpful down in Rockford.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. Waive him or just flat out tell him, thanks, here's your walking papers. We don't need you anymore. That was a dumb signing to begin with, but we won't need him shortly. And yeah, if you can get him to Rockford, he can't hurt down there. They could definitely use the offense. All right, final round of the shootout. Marian Hossa, Doug Wilson, they were inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame this weekend. Congratulations to them both, to the all-time greats. So instead of a prediction of who should be the next Blackhawk to get the call to the Hall of Fame? Brooke, we're going to start with you.
I have a feeling I know what the popular answer is going to be, so I'm going to take a different route and say Tony Amonte. Good old American boy. Deserves it.
There was a hot dog eating wing. He might get in there pretty quickly. Gail, what's your who should be the next Blackhawk in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's been talked about. Steve Larmer.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Jamerson.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a couple years to wait. Sean, who should be the next Blackhawk in the hall?
You got to go with the underappreciated Larmer.
Yeah, that's my pick as well. I've been on that crusade for a long time. How the heck is he not in the Hall of Fame? It's criminal at this point. Look at his numbers. Look what he did with the Hawks. And how is his number 28 still be allowed to be worn by other players? Retire the number, put him in the Hall of Fame for crying out loud. I don't know what he did wrong. Enough is enough. Stop the insanity. All right, that's going to wrap up the shootout round and our Alexander Karpatsov episode of Blackhawks Banner. Don't forget to look up that rant. You will enjoy it. My name is Greg. We do this every week. As always, thanks to Gail, Brooke, and Sean for talking Blackhawks. We look forward to doing it and hearing from all of you guys out there on the interwebs. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to hear us talk about. We'll be happy to oblige. Don't forget, follow everything on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, sign up for that Morning Skate, morningskate.io. Join us over on Discord at the Hockey Lounge, and you'll be the most informed hockey fan in your social circle. And that's what it's all about. So until next week, thank you guys, and thank all of you for watching. We'll talk to you next week.